Pete and I are going to do this together. He reading the scriptures and I talking about them. I like to talk. And as we come to this, I want you to think. Let us make no mistake about it. The devil is out to destroy our relationship with God. Get that clear. And yet the God whom we worship is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are bound in a bond of love within themselves. This is why we talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because at different times through Scripture, God reveals himself as Father, and then as Son, and then as Holy Spirit. And they're always together in what they're doing. And they're doing it all because the essence of God is love. When we come to read in John's Gospel, in John's letter, the point of it is, God is love. Now, the devil is out to spoil that love. And as the devil spoils that love, he tries to break the bond between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We see it at the very beginning of in creation, when God had everything made, and he looked at it and he said, that's good. And then when Adam and Eve were enjoying the best that God could give them, and above all, his presence, every evening, didn't God walk in the garden with Adam? But then the devil comes along and he suggests you can't trust this God. You can't trust his word. And so the devil says to them, has God really said, don't touch? Doubting what God has said. And then when we come into the New Testament, there's another challenge that will come up. But right through the Old Testament, the bond of love that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit enjoy is shown in so many different ways. Some people think there's no love in the Old Testament. It's all blood and guts and gore. Look at it again. It is absolutely saturated with the love of God for his people. But the fullness of it comes in the New Testament era, as it were. But do you notice something? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all involved in the birth of the Son. The Father sends the message to Mary. When Mary says she's willing, the Spirit comes upon her to conceive, and the Son is born. Notice that? And right through his upbringing, we get the sense that Jesus has been reading the scriptures, learning them, because it comes out in his public ministry again and again. And then when it comes to his baptism, his declaration of going public with who he is and what he's going to do, there again, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are at the baptism. As Jesus comes out of the water, the voice from heaven, this is my Son. And as he rises, the Spirit comes upon him like a dove. All together, the bond of love that the Father, Son, and Spirit share. One God in three persons. But then, of course, Jesus is about to begin his public ministry, and the devil is going to step in again, so to try and distract him from his course. And in the course of it, you will see he's trying to distract him from the very purposes that the Father has in mind, and the Holy Spirit has come upon him to endow him to perform. Now, Peter's going to read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. It'll be on screen, but he'll give you page, okay?
Yes, it's page 1030 in the Pew Bible. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone."
Jesus considering his ministry. How am I going to draw people to me? The devil, as usual, is always, as it were, pointing us in the direction of the physical. Do you notice how often the temptations that come to us are on the physical level? And so he says to Jesus, more or less, you can turn that stone into bread. And if you do that publicly, then they'll all run after you because they all want to be fed. There are a lot of poor people out there. And Jesus has to bring it back to the spiritual. Man shall not live by bread alone. We need to learn that. But Jesus had to concentrate on that. Because what he had come to do supremely, although he met people's physical needs, miracles and feeding of thousands and so on, but he came to redeem the soul, to bring us back into a relationship with God, his Spirit. So he had to nip that one in the bud. But the devil, as usual, is not finished, as Pete will read to you.
The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only."
Jesus had come to win the world. If he's not thinking, as you and I very often are not thinking, we look out there and we see all that we can have. And the devil is offering a very attractive proposition. I'll give you all this, all the kingdoms, all the nations, with their authority and splendor, if you worship me, it'll be yours. You see what's happening here? The first thing you ought to notice is these kingdoms don't belong to the devil to give to anybody. But it's a lie, as usual. It's a false promise, something he could never keep. But what he wants is the heart of Jesus. Because he knows if the second Adam, the first Adam fell for it, if the second Adam falls for it, then Satan is filled with glee. He's won. The whole purpose of the Son coming into the world is lost. Isn't it amazing how Jesus again can find a word from the Scripture? Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. But you see, the devil is trying every which way he can to break the bond between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he's not done yet.
The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test."
You notice? The devil knows Scripture, okay? And he's picking out a promise from the Father about the Son. And so he's saying, if your relationship is great like this, then why don't you jump down from the temple? After all, he's going to send his angels, and before you even get down, they're going to catch you and gently set you on earth. You'll not even hurt your foot against the stone. Very subtle. But it's showing the devil is casting doubt on the promises of God, and he's twisting them to suit his own purpose. We do it sometimes too. Suit ourselves. But this promise is given in Psalm 91 to glorify God. And the son knows that he's in the protection this psalm offers as he follows the will of the Father. Is it any wonder Jesus said to him, verse 12, do not put the Lord your God to the test. As sometimes we are tempted to do, and it's so easy. Lord, I'm going to go this direction now. You promised you'll be with me. Oh, no, it doesn't quite work like that. The promises are given for fulfilling the will of the Father. So Jesus says, enough. But we haven't on screen, but verse 13 says, devil's not finished. When he had finished all this tempting, he left him until another opportune time. And that came in the Garden of Gethsemane, for example. That came when he was faced by these trick questions from scribes and Pharisees and so on. Every attempt to get him to deny and to give up, as it were. And all to break the bond with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus did not let him succeed, because the bond he has with the Father and the Spirit are strong. So, you see, we keep talking about this love that binds the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together. How does it come out in practice in other ways? What's it got to do with us? Pete's going to read from 1 John chapter 4.
Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent us his one and only Son into the world, that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
Sometimes we're so concerned about our love for God. Our love for God only grows as we live in his love and respond to his love. Do you ever think about it? What drew us to God in the first place? It is the overwhelming fact that God loves us. His power can dazzle us. His infinite nature, his infinite being, is way beyond our comprehension. His glory is something, like Moses, if we were to look straight at it, it's a bit like looking straight into the sun. And it just blinds you almost. And other factors of God's nature, they can drive us away. His justice. The fact that he does not stand sin. And we feel so sinful at times. All sort of putting up a barrier in a way. But then when love comes in, you know yourself, we're always drawn by love, by warmth, by the sort of welcome that God offers to us. And it's a welcome that embraces us in his eternal love. Do you notice what it said there in 1 John? It's not that we loved God. That didn't get us anywhere. It's that he loved us. God is love. And in loving us, He sent his one and only Son to bring us to himself, to draw us by the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit there again. The bond. And this is what I want you to concentrate on today and tomorrow and next day, and not lose it too quickly. It's the fact that God is love that matters. God is love. And his love reaches out. And it's like as if it's got magnetism drawing us to himself. And the more we live in that love of God, the more we are strong in him and are not struggling to love him enough or to trust him enough. That all comes as we almost swim in the love of God that is so deep and vast and beyond our comprehension. It's not trying to understand it really. It's like diving in and swimming in the love of God. God is love. Hold on to that. Write it on your very heart. Engrave it in your very mind. Love it with all your being. Because it is true. God is love.